17 years.
Welcome, everyone. We will call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order. We are going to start today with a work session on House Bill 2472. Chris.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. In your packet, you have a dash 836 amendment, which is nearly identical to the dash 835s. It just cleans up the language pertaining to the less than or equal to 15 megawatt facilities. So for facilities that have a capacity of less than or equal to 15 megawatts, they are subject to a cap of $20 million and a 50% credit. And greater than 15 megawatts would get the $10 million cap and the 30% credit. You also have in your packet a table that is a summary, kind of a bullet point summary of the business energy tax credit. And it shows that there are four columns in it, and the first column is the policy, and then each of the subsequent three columns are a very brief description or bullet point of the current law, what House Bill 2472A does, and then what the dash 836 does. And then at the bottom of that is the revenue impact. So referring to that, and this was the discussion that was had yesterday, for the dash 836, the difference between that and the 2472A is this delineation of projects that are at 15 megawatts capacity. So I guess just summarizing briefly what the bill, if the 836 were adopted, would do, you have these new definitions for large projects greater than $5 million. Under current law, there are minimal criteria that the Department of Energy can use to either certify or deny these projects. 2472 spells out a handful of very specific criteria that they can use, and that is unchanged in the 836. The electric vehicle manufacturing, under current law, they would not be allowed a BETC credit. Under 2472, they would be treated as a renewable manufacturing facility and would be subject to a they would be allowed a 50% credit for project costs, and there's a cap of up to a cap of $40 million for those project costs. That is unchanged in the 836. The next policy discussion is the same site or same applicant, and this is the authority where if multiple applications are received for what is essentially the same physical site or by the same applicant at the same site, then the Department of Energy can treat those as the same project. Right now, in current law, the director has some discretion. 2472A just clarifies that discretionary authority, and that is unchanged in the 836. The next bullet point, current policy has an automatic 10% cost overrun that would increase the credit by 10%. That's in current law. In the A version, that's disallowed, and that's the same in the 836. The project cap for renewables, except for the renewable manufacturing, under current law is $20 million. Under 2472A, it's $15 million if the capacity is greater than 20 megawatts, $20 million otherwise. And then here's one of the differences with the 836. It's $10 million if the capacity is greater than 15 megawatts or a wind project, and $20 million otherwise. And then for the credit percentage under current law, all renewables get a credit of 50%. Under the A version, that was unchanged, and it was still 50%. Under the 836, it's 30% if the capacity is greater than 15 megawatts or a wind project, and then otherwise it remains at the 50%. And then the last line there are the revenue impacts. So under current law, for 0911, the BETC program in total, as per the tax expenditure report, has a revenue impact that the program costs the state about $144 million. The A version would reduce that by $9 million, so the total cost of the program would be reduced to $135 million. And then for the 836, it reduces that another $10 million beyond the A version, so the program cost would be $125 million for 0911.
Chris, thank you for that summary, and thank you for preparing this chart, because I think that helps. This is an enormously complex task we took on, Honorable Senate Finance, Revenue, and Energy Committee, which I've renamed us. So it's all pretty much laid out here. And we are in work session, and we have some dash A36 amendments. So Senator Morris.
Madam Chair.
Wait, before you do that, I forgot to ask for the fiscal and revenue.
Well, just in terms of the paperwork, we don't, the revenue impact is unchanged from the dash A32. That's identical. We don't have a paper that says the fiscal for the A36, but it's identical to the A35. There were just some wording changes.
Okay, so do we need to suspend the need for a revenue and fiscal impact?
My understanding is that you just need to recognize that's...
We change that rule.
Pardon?
We change that rule that you can do it, and I don't believe we need to suspend the rule.
Oh, okay.
Right, I think there's just a recognition that that's the case.
Okay. So we hereby recognize that the revenue impact and the fiscal impact are for prior amendments, but will not change on the basis of the dash A36. So now, Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, I move the dash A36 amendments to House Bill 2472.
Senator Morris has moved the dash A36 amendments to House Bill 2472. Is there any discussion? I have a little discussion. I think I'm very pleased with this package. I think it goes in the right direction. I think the question is whether it goes far enough in the right direction. But basically what House Bill 2472 does is it targets the best credits to the emerging technologies and to the manufacturing sector, which is really the best producer of long-term family wage jobs. And in this economy, I felt good about adding the electric vehicle manufacturing to that top-of-the-line BETSI credit that many people, and I'm one of them, think is responsible for drawing Solar World to Oregon. And that's been, when Solar World builds out, they will have an employment increase of around 1,000 family wage jobs. Senator Hess.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to recognize your leadership on getting this to where it is, especially your last-minute technical catches the last few days, and Chris's help here with some of the technical amendments in the last few days. I do want to acknowledge, though, that we can't get to it here, but I want to acknowledge the need for getting at the transferability of these credits and the discounting that goes on, and I do think it's in Oregon's best interest to narrow that and perhaps change some of those policies, whether it's grants or just outlawing it to begin with. So I'm hoping that in the interim or next year we can take a swing at that.
Thank you, and thank you for bringing that up, because what the transfers mean is that the taxpayers only get about 65% of the benefit of the money we spend on these credits, and the rest of the benefit goes to the people who buy the tax credits. So if green energy is what you care about, wouldn't it make more sense to figure out a way to get a dollar's worth of green energy subsidy for every dollar you spend? So I'm glad you brought that up, Senator Hess, and it will be a focus. It's been quite a struggle getting to this point on this, and I think probably our next struggle should be in that area. Thank you. Senator Telford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to express my appreciation for your willingness and actually hard work on listening to all of our points of views. And, you know, I know renewable energy is very important to the state of Oregon, but it's particularly important to my area in Central Oregon. And what we did was we crafted, with your help, something that's going to save the smaller projects and you know, really target that credit to where it's really going to have the most impact. So I appreciate your willingness to really listen to my input in particular. So, and
thank you.
I'm working this thing to death. So, 36, dash 36, I mean, heavens.
Any other comments or questions, Senator Rosmo?
Well, I guess if this is our chance to come in on the bill, I don't want to be left out, but I do want to applaud the chair for her leadership and really, this was a pretty pretty heroic effort here. I think that this credit has been successful, but I think it remains to be seen whether we wouldn't be able to attract the same book of business and not give away quite as much of our taxpayers' money. As to the transferability, I think, I mean, one point that does need to be made is the reason these tax credits are sold is because the corporate tax liability is so low that people can't afford to take full advantage of the tax credit without selling it to somebody else. So maybe some of the other changes that have been made this session, there will be more direct use of the credits than there is now. But I do think that this has been a balancing, that we have come up with a good bill that should still allow us to be maintain our role as a leader in renewable energy, but be fiscally prudent. So I'm glad to be able to be supporting it.
Thank you.
May I, Madam Chair?
Thank
you. And likewise, you've been really a pleasure to work with on this. Good work. I would like to point out for the committee that the issue of the study is not in the Dash 36s. My understanding is it will be coming forward in another bill. But this tax credit will, by virtue of the sunset bill that we passed, will sunset in 2012. Is that still in? I've not tracked it. Is it? What's the fate of that bill?
The bill's passed the House.
It passed the House.
It did pass the House?
Yes.
Okay, so we do have that sunset appearing before us, which draws two focuses. One is, do we even keep these tax credits? And the second is, if we do, in what form should they be done? And the biggest frustration for me in dealing with a very, very technical issue is the lack of information that is greater than anecdotal information. That's all we've had, really, in making determinations about the value and what it takes to actually incent. And have we given things away that we should not be giving away? We don't know that. And so I would like to lobby and speak strongly for this study, the analysis, because the 11th session will be the one that we will deal with this and either recraft or renew, whatever the case may be. So, Madam Chair, I hope that we're able to move that forward.
Well, so you know, Senator Morrison, I've said publicly that this study was really one of the most positive things in this bill. And the only reason it was taken out was because of the fiscal. And we just wanted to separate those two things, because anything with a fiscal has to go to Ways and Means. So our very next bill on the agenda today should address that. Okay, any other discussion? And thank you, committee, for your work and for your kind words on this. It has been a big project for all of us. So without objection, the Dash A36 amendments are adopted. Senator Morris.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2472 as amended to the floor of the Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morris has moved House Bill 2472A as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Did you want to?
No, after we.
Any objection? So ordered. Committee, Senator Morris and I will co-carry this bill.
Okay. Madam Chair, I would like, before we close out the discussion on 2472, draw attention to the audience and those that may be watching something that I think really has crossed the line of appropriate communication. And by that, and there's no attribution as to where this came from, but what it is, it's an appropriation of the Oregon Department of Energy official document, a news document. And at the top, it says, vote no on 2472, protect Oregon's economy. So I would point this out, that this really crosses the line of acceptable communication to appropriate an official document and put print at the top that makes it appear as though it is coming from the department itself. So when I saw this in the file I thought, whoa, wait a minute. I was first angry at the Department of Energy. Then I looked also through my file and found the regular communication and realized that somebody had superimposed language on an official document. So, Madam Chair, I just want to point that out for those that may be familiar with this, that hopefully that won't occur again in the future.
Thank you, Senator Morrison. I'm glad you pointed that out. And whoever did that put the advocacy statement on top of an official Department of Energy press release. Did step over the line. I would like to offer that person the opportunity to step forward and to make an apology for it. Okay. Now we will move on to a work session on House Bill 2180B. Chris.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, in your packet you have a B-12 amendment to House Bill 2180, which is the study that Vice Chair Morris was just referring to. And this is the language that was taken out of the Dash 32 amendments to 2472. And what it does is it requires the Department of Energy, in consultation with the Public Utility Commission and the Economic and Community Development Department, to prepare a report on the financial aspects of wind energy and conservation projects certified under the BETSI program. It directs the study to include capital investments, federal and state tax incentives, revenues, costs, and return on investment. And it states that the purpose of the report is to determine the extent to which facilities depend on the state incentives for initial and continued operation. And it requires the Department of Energy to report to the legislature by February 1st of 2011. The amendment has no revenue impact. But there is a fiscal impact that the chair was referring to, and we don't have a fiscal statement for the Dash 12, but within the Dash 32 fiscal statement that was passed out yesterday, within that it describes a fiscal impact of between $100,000 and $150,000 to conduct the study.
Okay, and this will, by the time this makes its way to the Ways and Means Committee, that fiscal will be ready to be attached to it, correct?
Yes.
And the substance of it hasn't changed. Just so that everyone knows that this bill, the complete contents of this bill has been replaced by the Dash B-12 amendment. Senator Morris, do you have a motion?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the B-12 amendments to House Bill 2180.
Senator Morris has moved the Dash B-12 amendments to House Bill 2180. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Senator Morris, we need a Ways and Means doodah on this next motion.
Let's see. Madam Chair, let me see if I can get it right.
Okay, let's see. You got lots of practice.
Test. Chris and Paul here, see if I get it right. Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2180 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Senator Morris has moved
close?
House Bill 2180 with a dash as amended to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation and a recommendation to the President that the bill be referred prior to going to the floor to the Ways and Means Committee. Is that good enough?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Sounds like an AP writer. Sounds like an AP writer.
Yes. Okay. Discussion? Objection?
I'm like a vitamin.
So ordered. Okay, that clears the BETSI agenda for this committee for the session. We will have a party. Okay. All right. Let's see what's next. House Bill 2904 unfortunately ran into a snag, and so we will roll House Bill 2904 over till tomorrow's meeting. We will have, I believe, a couple of other bills on tomorrow, and we're reaching the end dates on Senate Finance and Revenue. And there actually will be a party announcement.
When is that end date?
When is the party?
The end days are near. All right. For now, we are adjourned.